May the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you this day and each day. The text for the sermon today is from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42, where we find John the Baptist pointing his disciples to Jesus, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In today's gospel lesson, I find two different ways to give testimony, to give witness to what we have seen. And one of the ways that we will find is very spectacular and amazing, remarkable, and probably unlike any experience that you've ever had. And the other kind is also spectacular and amazing, but will, at the beginning, maybe seem more common or more everyday. But in both examples of testimony, the Spirit of God is at work through the words of the gospel, bringing to us life and salvation. We're going to start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he baptizes Jesus. The next day, he points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he establishes that the way he is able to have this confidence that Jesus Christ is this amazing Savior, this Lamb of God upon whom we are able to place all of our sins, and that he will be the sacrifice upon which this accursed load of our sin is carried and redeemed. He says, "Though I did not know him, it was revealed to me by the Spirit." You may think that, you know, some people just know stuff. You arrive at church and everybody just seems to know stuff. They know when to sit, they know when to stand, they know how a hymnal works, and some people just seem to know stuff. But I want to let you know that faith doesn't quite work like that. It's not something that you have figured out by being here long enough or having enough seat time in the pew. For even John the Baptist, it came about because it was revealed. It was revealed to him by the Spirit. He says it was by the Spirit that he saw a dove descend upon him and remain on him. I find this remarkable because for sometimes I always thought, you know, John the Baptist and Jesus, they grew up cousins, and Jesus just always was the Savior and John the Baptist was always just the forerunner, and they all knew their rules and they just all knew it. But John the Baptist establishes that the only way that he is able to point people to Jesus is because the Spirit revealed it to him. The Spirit revealed it to him through this amazing, spectacular vision of this dove descending and landing on him like a dove. I haven't had one of those kind of visions before. Maybe you have. I know some people have come up to me before and will share with me moments of when the Spirit has just revealed something to them in just an amazing, remarkable way. They tell me what they've seen and what they've heard, and I find tremendous encouragement from it, but it also seems kind of distant from my own experience. The next day, John again points Jesus out. He's got two of his disciples with him. I really don't know why that first time didn't work. You know, it says the day after he baptizes him, he points out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then there's no action that happens. It just says, and the next day again, with two of his disciples, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It's the second day of pointing out Jesus. Then two of the disciples go to follow him. And as they're following Jesus, Jesus turns and says to them, "What are you seeking?" And they answer, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And then Jesus answers with what I believe is the greatest invitation for how we should do evangelism. He says, "Come and you will see." And so they follow Jesus and they stay with him. And then seeing that it's about the 10th hour, which means very late in the day, there were 12 hours in the Roman day, whether it was winter or summer, they didn't adjust, they just said 12 hours. So the 10th hour, it means it's very late in the day. And it may just seem as a natural consequence of the time of day they spend the night with Jesus. But then one of those two is Andrew, who we will know as one of the 12 apostles, and he is brother to Peter. He goes to find his brother, and he says to his brother, "We have found the Messiah." And then at this point, just this beautiful invitation, it says, and he brought him to Jesus. This is the example of the other kind of testimony. So one kind of testimony that's spectacular and amazing is John the Baptist. He's seen the Spirit revealed to him, a dove descending on Jesus, and then he shares what he has said. But even that spectacular kind of vision doesn't work the first day he says it. Behold, the Lamb of God, nothing. Second day, behold the Lamb of God. It takes 2 days even for people to get this amazing vision. I actually think that makes sense to me because it's almost harder to follow a spectacularness that we don't get to see. But then the other kind of testimony, sharing what you've seen and heard besides John the Baptist's amazing vision, is Andrew. Andrew, who just goes to someone he loves, to someone he cares about, and he tells them what he has seen and what he's heard. We have found the Messiah. And I find a remarkable invitation for all of us to look beyond just those very defined sacred moments and expect God to work in those very sacred moments, and instead to discover that God can work in moments that may seem kind of ordinary, just every day, going to talk to someone you love and care about. Andrew and Peter having a conversation together. You know, I expect God to work in the sacred, very obvious moments. Like when I hear those words, behold the Lamb of God, I'm thinking of the Lord's Supper, because in the Agnus Dei, our communion liturgy, we sing about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I think of how the Spirit is at work at this altar, and I think of how many times in my life I've gone to altars and received in promise, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. And I receive there the confidence of the forgiveness of sins. And it could happen that you start to think that if I want to see the sacred working of God, I need to be here inside these walls. And I do. I do love to be inside these walls. I love this place of the holy habitation of our Lord, where His glory dwells in the promise of the Word of God that's preached, and the Word of God that's administered in the absolution, the Word of God that's in the waters of baptism, that Word of God that is in such sacred promise found at this altar. But it could be that you start to think that if I want to be where God is, then I've got to be inside these walls. That would be very true. God is here. But then we see how Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, has come in our flesh. He is at work in the world in ways that break down the boundaries between where sacred is and where the common ordinary is. And he starts, as he travels and moves, he does spend time in the synagogues. He does have a presence in the temple and the sharing of time that he has there as he opens up the scroll and will read from Isaiah. He is inside those sacred spaces. But then Jesus is also on the road. He's just, as John points him out and his two disciples start to follow Jesus, he's just on a road. And then they follow him. And they say, what are you seeking? And they answer back, where are you staying? And he says, come and you'll see. And they follow Jesus to all the places he will go. And in this, I start to find invitation for what kind of testimony we can have of Jesus. We can have confidence that he is in this amazing promise, this spectacular Spirit-revealed promise at the altar and receiving the Lord's Supper. The Lamb of God is here received. I pointed out to the kids this Lamb of Victory stained glass, often also besides the banner. When the victorious Lamb is revealed, he's also revealed with a pierced side, with the blood and the water flowing out into a chalice. So in other artwork, when you see the victorious Lamb of God, you'll see him carrying the banner, and you will also see his blood flowed out into the chalice. The Lamb of God is here. He is here delivering the promises of the forgiveness of sins. But I also want you to see with the glorious confidence of the Spirit at work through Andrew. Andrew talking to his brother in a conversation that reveals what he has seen and heard. We've seen the Messiah. And then he doesn't just leave that out there for it to just kind of fall flat or just to be out there in an empty space. He continues sharing what he's seen and heard by inviting Peter to be a part of it as well. He brought Peter to see Jesus. You are a part of the extraordinary way the Spirit is at work in this world. Through the words of the gospel you bring, Isaiah says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Andrew's feet were beautiful as he brought the good news to Peter. Your feet are beautiful as you go into your common, ordinary, everyday lives and bring the sacred promises of the gospel, because it is the gospel that has the power to bring salvation. It is the good news of Jesus Christ, and that good news is found here in these sacred spaces. But this gospel is also found in those sacred spaces of conversation that you have, the common, everyday moments when you meet someone you love and you care about, and you tell them what you have seen and what you have heard. You are a part of this because you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, called according to God's promises to proclaim the wonderful deeds of Him who has brought you out of darkness into His light. God has chosen you for these moments. He has promised to work through you. And you may at moments think, I can't do it because I haven't had the kind of vision that John the Baptist had when he saw the Spirit descend. But I want to let you know you can do it, because as the Spirit was at work revealing it to John, the Spirit is still at work through the Word revealing it to us daily. And as the Spirit was at work in Andrew's conversation, I trust the Spirit is at work in you. So how do you do it? You do it the same way John did. He shared what he had seen and what he had heard. You do it the same way that Andrew did it. You go and find those you love and care about. You tell them what you've seen, and you bring them to meet Jesus. Jesus does the work of saving. Jesus does the good news. You get to be a part of how the Spirit shares it in this world. Are you ready? Are you prepared to see that the Spirit of God is at work, that He is at work beyond the moments that fill these holy walls? God is at work in you as well. Through you sharing the gospel, you become a part of the sacredness. You become a part of how the incarnation is present in this world, the holy divine Son of God, in the good news of our salvation. Amen.